All right, so let's get into this word. We're going to finish this up. We've been talking about the gold standard. And, you know, this kind of stuff, it's almost like oversimplified. It's kind of like, well, duh, of course this is what God wants us to do. But one of the things that Jesus told his disciples, as we've said over the last, actually, the four times that I've taught on this, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, he said, so in everything, everybody say everything. That means there is absolutely nothing, no situation with any person, anywhere, any place, any time, everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. What does everything cover? Anything you can imagine. The way I deal with people, the way I talk to people, the way I handle money with people, just the way I deal with my employer, my employee, my peers. I mean, in everything we do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And so we just simply ask the question, how would you really like to be treated by others? How do you really want to be treated by others? What I've found out, because I got to be first partaker in whatever God wants me to speak of, I got to partake of it first. And so I had to ask myself the question, how do I really want to be treated by people? And what I found out is we don't really take the time to really think about that so much unless we get treated by somebody in a way we don't want to be treated. Then we know, I don't want to be treated that way, right? But this is being proactive. Jesus is wanting people to be proactive and really think about, how do I want to be treated? It's not about don't do to others as, you know, I would don't want them to do to me. It's being proactive. Do to others as you want them to do to you. It's you take the first step. And so I had to begin to ask myself, how do I want to be treated by others? And really think about that. Well, if I want to be talked to in a way that is respectful or honorable, then I better be doing that for someone else. If I want people to care about me in some kind of way, then I ought to care about them. I need healing or want healing in my life, then I ought to plant that seed of healing in somebody else. Whatever it is, we ought to be the first to proactively take the first step. And so we ask, how would we like to be treated? And then we said, the second question is, now that we know that, when you take the time to really think about, how do I really want to be treated? How do you treat others now? Do I really treat others the way I want to be treated? Well, can I tell you that, you know, in all my years of being saved and pastoring and ministering, I had to be honest and answer that question and say, you know what? I don't always treat others the way I want to be treated. There are times when I talk sharply, or there's times when, you know, that guy pulls out in front of me and I lay on the horn and I, you know, have all kind of thoughts. And there's times when I'm going through the Walmart parking lot. Listen, Walmart parking lot is the place to find out whether or not you really love people. Right? I mean, just yesterday, this makes my blood boil, you know, but I'm looking for a spot like we all do, as close as we can. And somebody pulls up and there's no handicap tag, there's no handicap license, and they pull up right in the handicap parking spot right up front, and they're not handicapped at all. Can I tell you, I didn't have nice thoughts about them people, and they get out and they just walking just perfectly fine, nothing wrong with them. And I'm so mad at them for doing that. And then it dawned on me why I'm so mad, because they got to do it and seemingly got away with it. And I didn't get to park that close. The truth of the matter is, I had kind of a self-righteousness kind of thing wanting to rise up, like, how dare them people do that? Now, they shouldn't do that. People should not do that, okay? But still, God's going to take that opportunity to deal with me and say, now, what's your real motive? Because they getting away with it? Because most of the time, unfortunately, they just get away with it. Now, they don't always. I tell you what, those highway cops, they'll write you a ticket if you parked in a handicap spot. I'm just letting you know, okay? If they catch you, you're getting a ticket, right? But the thing is, still, even though they were wrong, God says, yeah, but what about your motive? Is your motive right? Because I wasn't wishing anything good for them people. Y'all hear what I'm saying? All right. So even though I was right, I wasn't right. Okay? And God's more concerned with what's going on in the heart than he is what's going on in the outside. So I wasn't about to pull in that handicapped parking spot. I wouldn't do that. But still, the motive of my heart was wrong. There was a little bit of jealousy in there. They're going to do it and get away with it. My conscience won't let me do it, but somehow they're going to do it and get away with it. All right, just trying to be honest, okay? So I think about Timothy, and we talked about this the other day. I'm still kind of reviewing just a little bit, but Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 through 21, this just blows my mind, this scripture. It blows my mind. The Apostle Paul's talking. Now, understand, the Apostle Paul, you go through the New Testament, and he'll name several people, various, you know, other apostles that worked with him, so on and so forth. He had a pretty strong team. I mean, these guys had to be spiritual powerhouses. And he says, I have no one else like Timothy. This is Philippians 2, 20 through 21. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. Now think about that statement. I have no one else like Timothy that cares about your welfare. All the others, everybody say all the others, care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. Now, what an indictment against the church. The Apostle Paul says, all these other guys have been working with me. I mean, signs, wonders, and miracles and all this kind of stuff going on in their ministries too. But yet the motive of their heart, the Apostle Paul calls out and says, yeah, they're doing all this stuff. But the only one who genuinely really cares about you and really cares about what matters to Jesus Christ is Timothy. He's the only one. How heartbreaking. And then I realize, could I be one of those guys? Or are we going to be the Timothy? See, God's dealing with the matter of the heart. Now, how do I know whether or not I'm being like a Timothy or being like one of the other guys? Well, when it comes down to it, if it's me or that other guy, I mean, if it's my life versus that guy's life, especially somebody that maybe don't like me or is an enemy, so on and so, if it's my life versus that guy, which life is going to get laid down? Ooh, that's hard. See, the Lord told me a long time ago, he said, you don't have the right to criticize anybody you're not willing to die for. I don't like that. I don't have the right to correct anybody that I'm not willing to die for. But that's what the word does. And see, that's what Jesus is really talking about when he says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's not just talking about just being nice, saying please and thank you. Those are good things to do. But this goes much deeper than that. I want to be a Timothy. Tell your neighbor, I want to be a Timothy. Yeah, I want to be one that really cares about other people's welfare. I want to care about what Jesus cares about. Now, then we went to the third one, and that is the summary of the law and the prophets. And basically, Jesus is saying, look, this summarizes everything that's written in the law and the prophets. If you were wondering what the law and the prophets were really all about, it's this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love people. You know, back in the day, I don't know how many of you have been around, you know, these kind of churches. You know, how long you've been around. I think many of you have been around for a long time. But back in the day, you know, and when you went to a church like this, they had to have like the big cloth banners hanging everywhere. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Had to have the big banners everywhere, big colorful banners. Now, some churches still have that, and there's nothing wrong with it. But boy, of course, we had to have some of that. So we had one made, big, beautiful banner that said, loving God, loving people. That's what we're about. That's what God said. We said, God, when this whole thing got started, God, we just want to love you, and we want to love people. Be careful what you ask for. Let me tell you why, because God will send people into your life who are seemingly unlovable so you can love them. Because can I tell you, it ain't really love if it's all mutual and feels good and they're telling you how wonderful you are and everything's wonderful. That's not really love. That's really based in what I'm getting. But true love is not about what I can get. True love is about what I can give. True love is manifested when it's not deserved. Everybody got that? So be careful when you say, Lord, I just want to love you and love people. Help me to love you and love people. Okay, you're going to get your opportunity. How many of you know it's easy to love God? But he says, but if you love me, you got to love people. Even that joker that treated you wrong and smeared your name and did this and did that. You got to love God and love people, but you can't love God without loving people. Now, let me show you in the scripture. Now, we talked about this, but in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, we're not going to go through that whole 8 through 10, but he says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt. Everybody say continuing debt to love one another. In other words, that debt never ends. You know, hopefully, right now would be a good time to get out of debt financially, if you can. Boy, if you can pay debts off, pay them off. It'd be a good time to do that. But you will never, ever reach a place where God says, well, you finally did it. You've paid all the love debt you owe. You get your certificate paid in full. You've done it. Now you never have to love another one of these jokers. You're never going to get that. That debt can never, ever, ever be fully paid. Yet he expects us to continually make that payment. And we shouldn't be late either. Anybody ever been late on that payment? So he says, the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Now, again, I'm still kind of reviewing. We're going to get down to the end of this. But understand this, the golden rule, the gold standard that we're talking about is the standard to live by. People have to have a standard. If people don't have a standard, they just make up their own rules and do their own thing. But the standard that Jesus gave us is to love our neighbor as ourself and love God. Amen? Now, if we're not doing that, then we're fooling ourselves if somehow we think we're living a life that's pleasing to God. And so whoever loves God loves his brother. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21 tells us that whoever loves God must also love his brother. You know, the Bible tells us about and points out about the righteousness of the Pharisees, that were hypocritical, they were self-righteous, everything was based on the traditions of man. But that is not enough to gain right standing with God. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily your salvation here. I'm talking about not wasting your life. I'm talking about letting your life count for something that absolutely is eternal and is going to make maximum impact here. And the only way to do that is we got to truly love people with the love of God. Amen. Now, here's the thing. How can we attain that? Well, the same way we attain salvation, the same way we attain healing or anything else, by grace through faith. The grace is already provided. We take a hold of the grace, we believe it, and then we activate it in our lives. We attain loving people, even those that seem impossible to love, by grace through faith. That's the only way. The only way that I can love God's way is to have Christ's righteousness reigning in me. It's coming to that place of being dead to self. Listen, I preached this sermon many, many years ago. Dead men don't sin. Dead men don't have pride. That's a tough thing to live out. Well, we talk about, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. But then when that person says that thing or does that thing or hurts my feeling, or I find out whether or not that's true. And most of the time, unfortunately, we find out that it's not true. We haven't gotten to that place yet. But that's another opportunity to recognize it and say, God, I see something there that doesn't belong. Lord, I want it out of my life. Wash it away with the blood of Jesus. I want to love people the way you love people. I really want to be no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Naturally speaking, in the natural, I don't have the ability to love the way God tells me to love. I can't do it. I cannot do it because it's not natural. It's supernatural. But I can make the decision to just allow myself to be a pipeline of his love. I get me out of the way. I get my ego out of the way. Because most of the time when we get hurt, it's our ego that's hurt. I get my ego out of the way. But Lord, the Lord told me many, many years ago, dead men don't sin. You can go up. I went to a funeral yesterday. You can go up to that person. I tell you what, you could curse them out. You could spit on them. You could slap them. You could talk about their mama. You can do it. And they're not going to react even a little bit. Now, the other people in the funeral home probably will. But that dead person is not. Why? Because they're dead. Now, are we really crucified with Christ? According to the scripture, spiritually speaking, we have been crucified with Christ. 2,000 years ago when he was crucified, we also were crucified. But that don't mean we walking in it. And so in order to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, it's really another way of saying, I need to allow myself, the old self, to be crucified. Because the curse of humanity is me first, me first, me first. Me, 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 me. And so most people, as I've said before, they're not serving Jesus, they're serving Mises, and they're putting his name on it. So we attain it by grace through faith. That kind of love originates with God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, help me.
Holy Spirit, help.
Now listen, before you walk out of here, it's possible you're going to have to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Today when you go home and you get with some family members, you probably have to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to love them the way you love them. You know, some of you are going to leave and you're going to deal with people throughout the week, maybe at work or somewhere else in the grocery store, whatever, the Walmart parking lot. You have to say, Holy Spirit, help me. You called me to love them like you love them. The love of God demands that we have others before ourselves. So let me ask you, how do you want to be treated? Secondly, do you treat others based on the same standard? Or are we being hypocrites? Do you really care about others as you would care or want others to care about you? Would you be willing to yield to God and ask Him to help you to show that kind of love? Are you willing to really do that? Thirdly, are you doing or saying something right now that would harm your neighbor? Now, who's your neighbor? Well, it might be your next door neighbor. But of course, the neighbor is anybody and everybody. And more importantly, in the context of all the times when Jesus talked, your neighbor is especially that jerk. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everyone's your neighbor. Are you in some kind of a relationship that is not right before God? Well, you're hurting that person. Are you at war with some kind of human enemy? Have you stolen from someone in some way, shape, or form? You know, people go to work, they steal from their employers all the time. Not just stealing things, but they steal time. They want to be paid for time they're not even willing to work. Are you doing harm to your neighbor? The reality is that love does no harm to its neighbor. Would you be willing to come clean about some of the ways that you've harmed your neighbor and not shown true love to them? That don't mean you have to go around telling everybody. It just means get honest with yourself and before God. God sees it already. So maybe there's someone right now that, I don't know, maybe they need you to speak into their life to love them. Maybe there's somebody God's going to bring you across. They just need a pick-me-up. I love what Monica shared about, you know, picking people up, literally picking them up as she picks them up in her car to transport them to places and just tries to show the love of God to them, and they don't all accept it, right? But praise God for the ones who do, and even the ones who don't. That's got to affect them in some way, either way, when you show the love of Christ to people. Even if you don't see it right now in that moment, it gives God an opportunity to work on them. Work on, remember David Wilkerson, whenever he was trying to minister to Nicky Cruz in the Cross and the Switchblade, man, Nicky Cruz slapped him, cursed him out, and threatened to kill him on more than one occasion. But he couldn't sleep at night because he kept hearing that man say, Jesus loves you and I love you too. Couldn't sleep at night. Never know what God's going to do with that. Now, here's another one. Let's bring it home. Who's someone right now that you need to go to and bless? Because, see, we're not only supposed to just say I love my enemies or have good feelings toward them, but we're supposed to actively reach out to bless them. If you want to break bitterness, the best way to break bitterness or unforgiveness toward a person is actually take a step to bless them in some way, even if they don't appreciate it. Something. It could be a little thing, but something just to bless them. Maybe there's someone that, I don't know, maybe you could write or send a card to them or something. Just someone the Lord puts on your heart. Maybe somebody needs help with a project. Maybe they need you to speak life to them in some way. I mean, my goodness, there's plenty of people who need a touch of healing in their life. They're everywhere. They're all over. Maybe they need you to forgive them. Who's someone right now that you could actively treat the way you want to be treated? You purposely say, this is what I'd like in my life, so I'm going to go do this for them. Now, one more thing. This is the clincher. If your true motive for treating other people the way you want to be treated is so you can get something back from them, if that's your motive, it's the wrong motive. We want to treat them the way I want to be treated, but I treat them that way even if it's not returned. Because if it's returned and that's my motive, then again, that's not a motive of love. Love is I'm willing to lay my life down for them whether they ever appreciate it or not. So Jesus didn't say to treat them the way you want to be treated in order to get that from them. He's saying do it because it's the right thing to do. It's the godly thing to do. And do it no matter how they react because, again, it's about reaching them some kind of way. The best way to do away with an enemy is to love them into a friend. They may turn around and curse you, but you still do the right thing. They may smear your name, but still do the right thing. They may despise you or even persecute you, but still do the right thing. You may walk away from a fight with them. You may say, I'm sorry, I love you, I don't want to fight with you. And they may jump on your back, but you still do the right thing. Now, remember what I said. In the natural, this isn't only hard, this is impossible. But through the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. This kingdom life is not about what we can get. This kingdom life is about what we can give to bring honor to the King. It's about the King and His kingdom. God's people should not settle for anything less than the gold standard. And by His grace, we can live it out. Now, somebody ought to say this. They say, thank God. He's finally finished with this message. Maybe next week we'll have something a little easier on the flesh, maybe. We'll see. Our job, my job is, as a pastor, is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's not just to tell you how to do things, but to encourage you to also show other people how to do things. We do it through demonstration. People in this world don't know how to love. They don't. Everything in this world is by selfish motive. And what chance does the world have to ever experience true love if the church is not walking in it? So just if the Lord's speaking to you in any way in this, just acknowledge that in some way. If you need to get out of your seat, you can. If you need, just raise your hands, whatever you got to do. But just acknowledge, say, Lord, this is for me. God, I want to be a vessel of your love. Oh, flow your love through me, Lord. I'm willing to lay my life down. Just be a conduit that you can flow through. Jesus, love people through me. I don't want it to just be words. And Lord, I know I'm going to be tested. And I'm going to be tested. And I'm going to be tested. And I'm going to be tested again. Until the day I die, I'm still going to be tested. But I thank you, Lord, that those tests will no longer be seen as tests when I finally get it. They'll be seen as opportunities to love the way you love. By your grace, Jesus, I believe you will do this in my life. I'm your vessel. I'm your conduit. Flow through me, Jesus. Touch people. Hundreds of people. Thousands of people. However many people you can touch through me. God, touch their lives through me, Lord. I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, if you really mean that, why don't you just say a big amen.